Hello, friends, and welcome to Easter Sunday. I am so excited to bring you God's Word and to talk about Jesus, our resurrected Lord. As we begin our service, we're going to look at a scripture, you've already heard it, that's traditional about the Easter story. And it's so beautiful because it's about life and hope. And hope is so important to us, isn't it? Hope does something powerful inside our souls. It reminds us that there is something beautiful on the horizon, that even though today may not be beautiful, God has something good for us. And Christ, as he conquered death and sin and hell, reminds us that he is offering us salvation and life and a beautiful future, not just eternity, but for today. And so we're going to be looking at that story and the power of it. But before we do, I'd like to try and foster a little bit of empathy, a little bit of sympathy, a little bit of understanding for the disciples. Because for each one of us, there are times in life when someone has told us something, maybe again and again and again, but we have not always remembered it. In fact, it's gone right over our heads. So let me just pause and ask you if you've ever heard these kind of statements made to you before by friends, family, especially maybe even your parents. Something like, no one is perfect, just do your best, that's all you can do. Ever heard that one? Or be kind to yourself, be kind to others. Or how about this? Think before you speak. Sometimes they said it just like that, right? Think before you speak. The modern equivalent might be, pause before you push the send button. How about this one? Please turn off the light when you're done in that room. I can't tell you how many times I heard that one. Or how about this? Your life might be easier and better if you did a little each day instead of waiting to the last minute to do that thing. Now, I'm sure that there's 100 things like this that you've heard before. But I want you to pause for just a moment and think about something that your parents or somebody else important in your life said to you that was like that, that maybe they said over and over and over again. And if you're a family watching this together, I'd love for you kids to tell your parents what you've heard over and over and over again. So just take a minute to do that, right? Because we hear those things, we say 100 of them all the time. There you go. Now, let's take, for example, the turn off the lights when you leave the room or when you're done in that room. I can't tell you how many times my parents said that to me, but when I started paying the light bill, then I learned that lesson. And the reason why I bring this up is because Jesus had given them hope before he even went to the cross. He had told them what he was going to do. He had told them their plans. Over and again, he had shared with them that he was going to die and 3 days later, rise again. But when we come to Easter morning, they didn't carry that hope with them. They weren't ready. They didn't have it. They had not absorbed it. They hadn't contemplated it. They hadn't awakened ready for it. It had completely missed them. And that's such a critical part of this story. And so much about how we live our lives. Let me remind you how this goes, even though we just heard it a minute ago. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking spices they had prepared. If they had remembered what he'd said, they wouldn't have gone with spices. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just be honest with you. The men were even worse because they hadn't left the home because they had even less hope. The women ventured out hoping for something, even if it was just to encounter the dead body of Jesus to anoint it. And it says, so they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. That's biblical speak for they were angels. Other translations say angels. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, are you ready? Here it is. Here it is. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Why did you come here? Why did you come to a tomb looking for a person who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Are you ready? Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Verse 8. Then they remembered what Jesus said. That's why I wanted us to have some sympathy. Because as we read the story, we can say to ourselves, it's clear. If you've read the Gospels, it's clear. He says it over and over and over again. I must go. I must go to Jerusalem. I must go to the cross. I must die. I will rise again. Just like Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days. I will rise again in 3 days. He had said these kinds of things to them over and over and over again. Just like make your bed, pick up your room, turn off the lights. But so many of us miss those things, don't we? Now, the turn off the light switch isn't about hope. It's just about doing life better. What Jesus told us so much about was hope. Things that would make our life fuller and more beautiful and more hopeful. And yet, I find that oftentimes we miss them. I mean, we read them, we hear them, but they go right past us like the disciples. And here Jesus was saying, I'm going to give you a piece of information that will allow you to wake up Easter morning excited, ready, full of what God has ahead of us. And because the entire group of them missed it, they had to encounter it at the tomb itself, where the angels said to them, maybe with a little bit of an attitude, why are you here? Why did you come to this place? What? Can you imagine if we started our Easter service in a graveyard? I mean, that's where they started, wasn't it? Can you imagine the shock of me inviting you to a graveyard for an Easter service? Because that's where they gathered on the first Easter. Sad and broken, and you can understand why. Because Jesus said so many things to them. How could they remember them all? Because there were so many things that were happening around them. Because his arrest, his beating, the betrayal by Judas, the sentencing, the death, all happened in such a fast period of time. And in their heads, they really hadn't gotten around to understand that this man who could walk on water and heal the sick and raise the dead could, in fact, be killed. But that's exactly what happened. And because they couldn't get their minds around it, it was hard to accept it when he said it. And Jesus was trying with everything he had to say, I'm trying to give you the best, but you are having a hard time hearing it, receiving it. But I am trying to tell you, I have plans. I have plans. The Father has plans for me, and I have plans for you. Oh my. What a beautiful thing. And if I'm really honest as I come to Easter, Jesus has given me so much to have a fuller life and more hope, and I sometimes just let it fly by. Like when he tells me, do not worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. I gotta tell you, that's a hopeful thing to tell me not to worry about the things of tomorrow. But do I live in that the way that I should? I can't say I do. When he tells me that he will provide for me because he provides for the birds of the air, and that he loves me more than them, do I still worry about being provided for? I do, even though Jesus gave me that hope. He told me that he would be present for me and never leave me. Jesus gave me so many promises. And yet I find that on the average day, as I'm walking through life, I worry, I fret, I get confused, I get lost. I wonder if there's good in the future, and I wonder about hope. And Jesus had been trying to tell me all along, it is there. And Easter is a great time to pause and to say, have I really heard what he's telling me? Have I heard that he's telling me that he wants a relationship with me? He wants to, and he loves me. He wants to enter into a relationship with me, with you. And he wants to provide for you. He wants to be your God and allow you to be his child. And there is so many beautiful things to what Jesus is offering to us that sometimes we can just let it fly right past us. But on Easter morning, the reality of life itself came crashing in on the women. And it was so powerful that they left, after it says they remembered what he said, they left the angels and ran back to the disciples to tell them, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. And they were right. The disciples didn't believe it. Because it's so amazing. It's so powerful. It is so fantastic. The God of the universe has declared that he loves us and that he can conquer storms and sickness, death itself, and our own selfish, sinful nature. And so on Easter, we celebrate that Jesus because he is alive. We celebrate him not just for all the promises he made, not just for all the things that he gave us, but because of who he is, that he would love us enough to do that. That, friends, that more than anything, because we see after the resurrection as Jesus meets Mary and Peter and Thomas, everything else just melts away and they're overwhelmed by the fact that Jesus himself, who really was the Son of God, knew them and loved them and cared about them and invited them to be a part of his kingdom. Not later on, now. Now. And the beauty of the hope that we have in Christ is that he offers this to everyone. And so we celebrate today. We celebrate a God who has the power to raise Christ from the dead and who regularly communicates to us that he has a plan for us and a hope for us and to remind us that as our God, he is watching over us. And here's what he asks. And he knows that we're frail. He knows that we're going to forget. He knows that we're not going to hear it. He sent angels there intentionally to tell them. Because if they got into the tomb and it had been empty, they might have been confused or lost. And he sent the angels to remind them, by the way, we already told you this, but here it is again. Jesus is alive. And so, friends, our patient God is willing to go again and again and again to tell us, Maybe like your parents did again and again and again, until we hear it, until we experience it, until it becomes a part of us. He is a God of life, a God of hope, a God of restoration. And in a world that is broken by mistrust and greed, by racism, by sin, by hopelessness, this is a powerful message. Jesus is our hope. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for Christ. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for sending him to tell us. And so often he has told us, and like his first disciples, we have not clearly heard what he said. But he wanted us to know. He loves us. He came to die for us. He came to restore our relationships with each other and with you. He came to establish his kingdom, that we might begin living on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, Father, to celebrate with full hearts all that Jesus, our risen Savior, has done for us. And to believe what he told us, to hear what he said, to accept the truth of what he shared with us. We pray all this in the name of your risen Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Happy Easter.